Please sit. May I add my welcome to that of Phil this morning. We are thinking about how we relate to other faiths. And I'd like to pray before I begin. May my words be of you, Lord God, and would you open our hearts and minds to receive from you. Amen. My daughter does not speak. She's 8 years old. I brought her here. I thought they'd be able to cure her, but they can't do anything for her. Please pray for us. The wild-eyed despair of the man and the anguish and pain in his voice as he hurries towards the hospital gate to leave with his startled little girl by the hand touched me deeply. I said I would pray for them. I did and have done since. How desperation drives us to seek help from sources we would not normally consider. I was a Christian woman walking in a Muslim hospital garden in Shavar outside Dhaka. Muslim women do not worship with men in the mosque, and they are still very much inferior in Bangladeshi society generally. And I was a Western woman, albeit dressed in a shalwar kameez, but wearing a cross. And yet he asked for prayer from this foreign woman from a different culture and religion. The centurion too was moved beyond his usual circles when he approached Jesus. He was one of the hated Roman conquerors of the Jewish people. This centurion was used to riding his horse alongside his detachment of 100 soldiers, who marched as one, armed with sword, shield, and helmet, the ground rumbling as they moved through the villages, keeping order. A very visible reminder of the might of Rome to any would-be freedom fighter. What must Jesus' disciple Simon the Zealot, Simon the freedom fighter, have been feeling when Jesus so graciously received this centurion's desperate plea for healing for his suffering servant, and praised him for outstanding faith? This centurion could have let many obstacles stand between him and Jesus: pride, doubt, money, race, language, self-sufficiency, or power. Jesus, who after all appeared to be an itinerant teacher, a rabbi of no fixed abode, with a very diverse and as yet undistinguished group of disciples. And yet he saw a man with authority, divine authority, who talked and demonstrated a very different kingdom through his miraculous powers of healing. The Roman centurion believed that one touch from this king would change everything. He did not even ask for a touch, but a word. He knew the power of words of authority as a centurion in a highly disciplined world of the Roman army. He would give orders, and they would be obeyed instantly. So he believed it would be with the authoritative word of Jesus: "Say the word only, and my servant will be healed." The centurion is humble and courteous before Jesus, calling him Lord. And even in his desperation to have his suffering servant healed, he wants to prevent Jesus from making himself ritually unclean by coming into his house. The centurion would have been used to weighing up men's characters, and he saw so clearly what the Jewish priests and teachers of the law did not. They were so wrapped up in their own affairs and destiny that they could not accept Christ and his new from-the-bottom-up message. They missed this world-changing coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, because he did not fit with their preconceived picture of what that Messiah would look like. Jesus is saying that all nations will be invited to the banquet, the heavenly banquet, at the end of time. Jesus is saying that all nations will be invited to the heavenly banquet at the end of time. Jewish teachers should have known from the prophets that when the Messiah came, his blessing would be for the Gentiles too.
for all nations without exception. Isaiah had foretold this. God said, I am about to gather, come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will see my glory. In claiming God's promises, we must not apply them so personally that we forget to see what God wants to do to reach all the people he loves. Verse 11 suggests that the centurion will be sitting with the patriarchs at the heavenly banquet, while some Jews will lose their dinner invitations. How then do we relate to people of other faiths? I feel very inadequate to describe other faiths, and there will be those among you who have friends and members of your family from other faiths and have much more knowledge and understanding than I. But God is a triune God. He exists in community, and he designed us to live and work in relationships. Our testimony as Christians is how we relate firstly to God, and secondly, how we relate to each other and care about our Christian brothers and sisters. And out of this flows our love and care for all God's people. The people of other major faiths, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, and possibly Baha'is, are the religions we are likely to meet through people at work, in schools and universities, hospitals, in our community, and married into our families. Many of the world's religions started in Asia. On the whole, people of these faiths are very sincere in their beliefs, practice diligently, and are open to spiritual conversations. How do we relate to them? Firstly, Paul's instructions on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in Colossians are an excellent guide to us today. To be persistent in prayer, being watchful and thankful, praying that God will open the door and give us the opportunity to tell the mystery of Christ. We are to pray for clarity in what we share and wisdom and grace in the way we act towards not yet Christians, and to make the most of every opportunity. How do we share this invitation to a personal relationship with God through Jesus? We can do this principally by offering the hand of true and loving friendship, and first listening to their faith story and learning as much as we can about their faith, family, and culture before sharing our own. It takes time and patient listening to develop a respectful friendship and to avoid the sharing of our Christian beliefs being heard as threatening or judgmental. Jesus was the friend of people of all faiths and cultures, and God's heart is inclusive and welcoming. His Holy Spirit is already working in people in the world. We need to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because we do not embark on sharing Jesus in our own strength. Then when people come to faith, we need to be prepared to grow and support them if there should be fallout in their lives through becoming Christians. Basic knowledge of beliefs of these faiths is really helpful in reaching and coming alongside. Many people of Asian faiths associate the Christian faith with Western culture and all its failings, and the so-called Christian West as anti-Muslim. Thus, we need to draw a clear distinction between what is truly Christian and what is merely Western, and remind our friends that Jesus did not live and preach in Europe, but in the Middle East. I will share a little of what I know of the Muslim faith, or the little I know of the Muslim faith. For Muslims, it is more helpful to call yourself a follower of Jesus, as Christian has the reminder of the Crusades, which is distinctly unhelpful. And we have to rid ourselves of equating Muslims with the Islamic extremist, as in the past we have equated IRA terrorist with Irish Roman Catholic in the Troubles. On the positive side, Muslims look upon Christians as people of the book. The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, traditionally ascribed to Moses, which they also revere as holy scriptures. God, as he is portrayed, is the God whom Jesus addressed as Abba, Father. In the Quran, Jesus is called Messiah, and he is the second most important prophet of God and highly revered. There are stories of his healings, miracles, raising people from the dead, and he is called the Word and the Spirit of God. But Muslims struggle with our belief that Jesus is divine, the divine Son of God. To them, God is not Trinity. He is one, he is other, he is unknowable. Nor do they share our understanding of God's unconditional forgiveness and mercy, or that Jesus is the image of the invisible God who was crucified, died, and rose again. In Muslim religion, salvation and the avoidance of hell is earned through good works. Our good news is that salvation is the free gift of grace from an all-loving God through belief in Jesus and the power of his death and resurrection. At times I find it achingly hard working in the hospital school in Bangladesh, because although one is allowed to be a loving Christian presence, one is forbidden to share the joy of knowing God, who loves all people before and beyond our understanding and does not deal out punishment in the form of spinal injury through terrible accidents or cause babies to be born with cerebral palsy. I long to share God's love with those whose eyes betrayed desperation at being confined to a wheelchair for life and the condemnation of this being a punishment from God. Now, the other evening, in our life group, we wrote on post-it notes what we personally believed as the essence of our faith, in order that we could, as Peter wrote in his letter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for your hope, for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I used to be afraid that exploring other faiths would be unhelpful in deepening my Christian faith, but just the opposite. It has taught me just how blessed beyond words I am. Christianity is unique. Unlike the leaders of other religions, our leader is alive. We believe in a living, loving Jesus as the revelation of God. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." There is hope even in death, for Jesus defeated death, and we are Easter people living in the light of his resurrection. He is the God of the second chance, who forgives our sins and transforms our lives, and who loves us unconditionally and values all people equally. Be excited that we are all his dearly beloved children, unique and precious in his sight. This is our identity. The mystery of God, who invites us into a loving relationship with him and ushers us into his holy presence. And yet he is the king and creator of this amazing world we inhabit and the starry galaxies beyond. The Almighty, before whom we and all nations will kneel at the end of time. And as we come to Holy Communion this morning, our Savior Jesus meets us in the sharing of bread and wine, which is a foretaste of that heavenly banquet. No wonder the gospel of Christ is called good news, which we are called to step out and share, remembering that faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk.